Good afternoon, and welcome back to the afternoon session. I'll be talking about some of the things that we've been doing in the Santa Ana River watershed in the past few years. And luckily that you guys are not that far away from where we collected all our samples. This is actually the Santa Ana River watershed, but most of our samples collected from this region here, the middle part of the Santa Ana River. And you can see in the map that this is the Santa Ana River. And the significance of this is that, one, it runs all the way to the Pacific Ocean, and right here in the Huntington Bay. And one other thing also that you will see that is important in this watershed or in this study is that you can see it right here in this particular circle here, the number of cattle that we have in this area. When we started this project about 2000, there were approximately about 286 cattle in this watershed in a 50 kilometer square area. But now this number has dropped significantly, mainly because of what you've seen in this lower part, because most of the cattle are moving out to other parts of the state and to other parts of the country, some of them moving to Idaho, some to San Joaquin Valley in the central part of California. And also the farmers are increasing their population on their farms, and also the land is getting too expensive for the farmers to operate, and developers are moving in using the land to build million-dollar single-family homes and offices. But one thing that we should note is here in the bullet number two is that the Santa Ana River is really the main source of domestic water supply to the residents of Orange County, California, which is about a few miles south of us here. And many what we were interested in looking at here in our objective was to look at the microbial community changes in three or in about five regions of the watershed, up in the mountains, in the control area, and three wastewater treatment plants, and also along some of the creeks, and at the same time look at some of the environmental factors that may affect microbial community in this watershed. And what we did here in terms of methodology is this figure is to look at some of the sites that we collected the samples from. If I can pull down here, I'm going to point out to about five specific areas that are five specific zones. One here, this is Chino Creek. And Chino Creek is mainly the main input in Chino Creek we have here, the urban runoff. This is mainly from residential area. All the runoff in this creek, mainly residential area. Then another channel here is the Cypress Channel. This is mainly from agricultural input, mainly cattle. And all this, they run into the Prado Park area, which is somehow a lot of bodies of water here is used for non-contact recreational activities. And then you have two wastewater treatment plants, another one up here. Then you have the control area. So mainly what we're looking at here, five main zones that we were trying to look at and see how changes in microbial community occur in this area, and try to relate this to some of the environmental factors, and also look at some of our previous studies that we've done in terms of indicator bacteria that we have used, which we're not going to talk about those things here. Good, if you can see that, maybe your eyes are better than mine, but what we basically saying here is that these are about 20 sites that we collect the samples from. And in some of those sites, they basically showed land use and GPS positioning, mainly to show you that some of these sites are for agricultural use, some for urban runoff. And the samples that we collected, like I said, there were many from 20 locations. In these 20 locations, we analyzed the portability, EC, temperature, pH, dissolved oxygen flow, where fluorides were available. And we basically collected 3 water samples and 3 sediment samples in a very small area, and we always collected the water samples first because to avoid resuspension of bacteria. Once we did this, we extracted total DNA from water samples and total DNA from sediment sample, and did cloning. This was done the traditional way, the traditional Sanger cloning. This was not done pyrosequencing. We have a poster dealing with pyrosequencing on Wednesday. But this was a traditional Sanger sequencing and cloning. So the next step that you see here is some of the results that we have. And when you're looking at the bacterial composition, this is the number pie chart that usually comes with the, it usually like to represent this in the pie chart. These were mainly some of the classes or file up that we saw in the study, ranging, which was mainly dominated by proteobacterial phylum. Then you also have a lot of things that we couldn't tell, a lot of the uncultured bacteria, then a few Acinetobacter and Actinobacteria. These are the normal guys that we usually find in the surface water or in sediment. So this meant the total population, that the total group that we found in all the samples, both surface water and also in the sediment. Then when you look at the sediment, we're only missing one group from the sediment. So everything that we saw in the previous slide were in the sediment, except the epsilon proteobacteria that we did not find in the sediment. Then when you look at surface water, there were a few other things that were missing in the surface water, about 4 phyla were missing in the surface water that were not that were present in the sediment or that were present in the sediment. So having had all this, we did the normal rarefaction curve to look at the number of species that we could recover. You know that if this is done with pyrosequencing, like some of the pyrosequencing data that we have, you probably have up to about 20,000 or 40,000 or 15,000. But here you can see that the number of sequences that we have and the number of OTUs at about 360 sequence, we were able to get about up to the number of OTUs in the sediment was higher than the number of OTUs in the surface water, which basically thing that was not surprising to us. But this is really what we were interested in looking at, to see how microbial communities from the different zones, either from the suffers either from the urban runoff or from the agricultural runoff, and in the Prado Park area or wastewater treatment plant, how they differ from each other, whether they have any differences in this area. So for the surface water, we use a Unifrac jackknife tree to look at the microbial community changes. What was really surprising to us was that the microbial community composition or microbial community structure in number one here, number two, this is urban runoff and this is agricultural runoff. They were basically the same. There were no differences. And the next group to that was Prado Park area, which, as you can see, that samples from agricultural runoff and the urban runoff, they run into the Prado Park area. Then you move on there to wastewater treatment plant and to the last, which is the control plot or the control site. Then when you look at sediment, you have a little bit of changes in the sediment, but still, number one and number two, they were not different. They were still, they were all they clustered together. Then our concern was to see, use other form of clustering technique to see whether this is really the true representation of what we have in the area. So we use a principal coordinate analysis to look at the clustering of these samples. And as you can see, it's still the same thing. We have here the urban runoff and Cypress Channel, which is agricultural runoff. They all cluster together and very close to the Prado Park area. So at this point, we were very confident that that the microbial community in the urban runoff and Cypress Channel, they are not necessarily different from each other, but they are slightly different from what we have in the Prado Park, and significantly different from the control site and the wastewater treatment plant. Then these are the same processes that we can see when we do the when we do the plotting. And okay, that is where I was heading to. So the next thing we did was to look at the use a Venn diagram to try to look at the different OTUs that are present from our east side. On the soil side, we know that there we have about 246 unique OTUs, and also in water we have 196 unique OTUs, with 40 OTUs that are shared with the two sides. That means if you add this to this, that's the total OTUs that you have from soil and water, but those are the unique OTUs that are not shared by each other with any of those sides. Then since Prado Park was very close, then we take a look at it and also see that though they were very close, but they were also very different from each other, but there were some OTUs that were shared with one another. And the same thing with the water samples, as we look at the proportion of OTUs in the water sample from the three main sites. One other thing that we looked at here was to look at the environmental factors that slightly affected microbial community. And the three main factors were dissolved oxygen, temperature, and EC or salinity. And in our conclusion, we said that microbial community in the Cypress Channel, which is urban runoff, were not significantly different from our microbial community from agricultural runoff. And salinity, dissolved oxygen, and temperature were the main factors that influence microbial community composition in the Middle Santa Ana River watershed. Thank you.